Your next speaker is Eddie Parrish.
This book is very important to most of you. You want it in your home. You want your children to have a copy of it. You want them to read it. You want to read it yourself. You want to hear it proclaimed. When you gather in assemblies like this, that's what you want to hear. And I know most of you, if not all of you, want to be able to study it better. The surveys that we did a number of months ago revealed that. One of the things that you expressed as a congregation was your desire to be better Bible students. That's a commendable attitude. And because of that, and with that in mind, we're beginning a series of lessons this morning that we're calling Better Bible Study. Now, I'm well aware of the fact that we haven't finished our series on the book of Mark. We're halfway through the book of Mark. We've done the first 8 chapters. It's my plan sometime later this year to continue and finish that series. But I wanted to do this series somewhat early in the year because of the fact that you had expressed a desire to have better study habits. And hopefully in this series of lessons, we'll be able to look at some practical things that will help each of us to be better students of God's Word. And we're beginning today with establishing the need, first of all. In other words, what does the Bible say about the importance of Bible study? Why is it important for us to be acquainted with this book? I really believe that if we capture the need for Bible study, and if we have foremost in our minds why studying the Word of God is important, then we'll be more motivated to make it a part of our daily routine. And so we'll begin there. And then in subsequent lessons, we'll add some practical applications, some practical ideas, hints, if you will. Something that we can do that will enhance the time that we spend in the Word of God. Many people would like to be good students of the Word of God. They just don't know how. Hopefully, we'll be able to help you to know how to be a better Bible student. But first of all today, why is a knowledge of the Bible important? Let me offer you these reasons. Number one, Bible study is important because the Bible tells us of our origin. The Bible tells us of our origin. Human beings are curious creatures. We are interested in our roots, are we not? We like to know where we're from. Just this past week, several of us, our family, made a trip out to West Texas, where we laid to rest Nanny, Annie Lee Green. Rural Texas. One of the interesting things about that was that we got to see some roots. I'm glad that my kids got to see where their great-great-grandparents lived. We're interested in that kind of thing. But that's a unique characteristic to humans. We're the only living creatures that care about that. Plants and trees don't care about their roots. Let me rephrase that, actually. Plants and trees don't care about their ancestors, but we humans do. It's also true that not only are we curious about that, it's also the case that how we view our origin is going to affect how we live our lives. If you believe that you are nothing more than a brute beast that exists because of some blind process of organic evolution, then ultimately you'll probably act that way. And many people today are doing exactly that. But if you believe that you are the product of special creation by an all-powerful God, you're going to be more apt to seek that God. And there is no source but the Bible that gives us a full and complete explanation of where we came from. That's why the Bible is important. Number two, why is knowledge of the Bible important? Because it tells us of our purpose. It tells us of our purpose. No person is happy without some sense of purpose, without some sense of direction. Not only do we like to know and need to know where we came from, we also like to know why we're here and where we're headed. We like to have a sense of purpose and direction. An aimless life is a miserable life. Have you ever known someone that just had no idea what they were here for? Had no idea what sense of purpose their life had? Maybe you've been that way. Maybe you are that way today. A life with no direction is a life of misery. But because of the Word of God, we are not doomed to live a life with no purpose. Because this book tells us what our purpose is. It tells us why we're here. We were created for God's glory. Isaiah 43, verse 7. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 states it as clearly as it could be stated. When Solomon, after he had searched far and wide for meaning in life, for purpose in life, he looked everywhere and he had at his disposal everything that a person could want. He had all of the wealth that he needed, more than he needed. And so if there was something that he wanted to explore, to try to find purpose in life, he did it. When all was said and done, here's what he said. Here is the conclusion of the matter. All has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Want to know what your purpose in life is? That's it. Fear, honor, respect, glorify God. And submit yourself to His will. Paul said to a group of philosophers in the city of Athens, in Acts 17, verses 26 and 27, that the God of heaven made of one blood all the nations to dwell on the face of the earth, that they, all these nations, should seek God. That's why He put us here. That we would seek Him. We human beings came from God. Therefore, we are under obligation to serve God. And incidentally, you want to know why atheism and the theory of evolution are so attractive to some folks? Because they've got it figured out that if God exists, we therefore are responsible to Him. And so if you can develop some kind of theory of life or philosophy of life that doesn't have God in it, then you're accountable to no one. But if you embrace the existence of God, you therefore embrace your accountability to Him. We were created by God. We are therefore under obligation to serve God, and we will meet God in judgment. And it's up to us to be wise enough to listen to that and heed it. Why is Bible study important? It tells us of our origin. It tells us of our purpose. Number three, it tells us of the greatest person who ever lived. Being acquainted with this book is important because it tells us about the greatest person that ever walked the earth. It tells us about Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of the living God. If there were no other reason to study the Word of God, that would be enough. While the existence and some of the history of Jesus can be found in documents outside the Bible, there are historical references to Him in the writings of others, and that is all true, but only the Bible not only reveals His existence, but also reveals His character, His mission, and reveals the major events of His life, not the least of which, His death, His burial, and His resurrection, that stand as the very foundation of Christianity. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. See, without knowing Jesus Christ, no one can enter into fellowship with God. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." John 14:6. Peter said, "There is salvation in no other. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The name of Christ." Acts 4:12. This is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You did send. John 17, verse 3. You want eternal life? You want access to the Father? You want salvation from sin? You'll find it in no other place but in Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us of Him. Without Jesus Christ, you can't gain access to God. And without the Bible, you can't truly know Jesus. That's why studying the Word is important. Number four, knowledge of the Bible is important because it helps us avoid sin. It helps us avoid sin. I really don't imagine you would be here today if you didn't care about sin and what it can do to you. People that don't care about whether or not they've got sin in their lives usually don't end up in places like this. They've got other things to do. So I imagine you're here because you have some interest in your own soul. You've got an interest in whether or not your soul is cleansed, that you're right with God, that you've been saved from your sins. Well, if you are interested in avoiding sin and keeping as much of it out of your life as possible, then you must also be interested in this book and in spending time with this book. Because it's through the message of this book that we can avoid sin. Psalm 119, verse 11, part of the passage read just a few minutes ago. It's where the psalmist said, "Your word have I hid in my heart." To what end? "That I might not sin against You." If you're interested in avoiding sin, and make sure your heart is filled with the message of this book. That's what it's for. The law of His God is in His heart. His steps do not slip. Psalm 37, verse 31. If we would fill our minds with divine truth, we would be more fortified against the enemy of our souls and less likely to give in to him. Isn't that how Jesus handled His temptations? Matthew 4. When Satan tempted Him in several different ways and He responded each time with, "It is written." Do we know enough of the Word of God that whenever we face temptation, we've got some part of the Word of God at our ready use that we might fight Satan with it? One who meditates day and night in the Word of God will be like a tree planted by rivers of water. Brings forth fruit in its season. Its leaf also does not wither. And whatever he does will prosper. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Bible study is important because it helps us avoid sin. Number 5. Studying the Word of God is important because it protects us from false doctrine. It protects us from false doctrine. Seems as though some question whether or not a false teacher is an entity that even exists. I can assure you they do. When Jesus faced off against the Sadducees, who claimed that there was no such thing as the resurrection of the dead, they just denied that it was even a possibility. They didn't believe in it. They come to Jesus in Matthew 22 with this trumped up scenario by which a wife outlives 7 husbands, brothers. And according to the law of Moses, you know, if a man died not leaving offspring, his brother was to take his wife as his and bring up offspring to his brother. They come up and they say, "Well, here was a lady that outlived 7 of these brothers." And then they said, "Now, in the resurrection, whose wife will she be of the 7? They thought they had some scenario that would stump Jesus. It didn't. But notice what he said to them about the Word of God and how that related to their false doctrine. He said to them, Matthew 22:29, "You do greatly err. You are in grave error." Why? "Because you know not the Scriptures, neither the power of God." Their lack of a knowledge of the Scriptures led them to false doctrine. Well, if we have a good knowledge of the Word of God, that'll help keep us from that. We won't be susceptible to it. Multiplied thousands live and die in the clutches of false teaching because they simply don't know their Bibles. How many people today, at this very moment, in this Metroplex area, are engaging right now in unauthorized worship simply because they don't know the Bible well enough to recognize error when it's right in there among them? The numbers would probably be staggering. The prophet speaking on God's behalf, Hosea 4, verse 6, said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." The prophet was predicting their upcoming captivity. And he said, this is why. They're destroyed. Because of a lack of knowledge. We ought to be instead like those Bereans. Acts 17:11. Those that were willing to search the Scriptures to see if the things that they were being taught were actually so. We need to be like that. Don't ever take anything you hear from me or anybody else as gospel truth just because I said it or because that person said it. You study the book. You test it. You see if it's not the case. Knowledge of God's Word is important because it will protect us from false doctrine. One cannot recognize what is false unless he first has an understanding of what's true. Number six, knowledge of God's Word is important because it comforts us in our times of need. It comforts us in our times of need. Ours is a world of death, disease, anguish, anxiety, sorrow, pain, heartache. Indeed, our rebellion against God has many attendant evils. The way of the transgressor is hard. Proverbs 13:15. And with the entrance of sin into the world, there are a lot of things, a lot of baggage that came with that. And a lot of that baggage is very unpleasant. And though we, as we live life from day to day, we try to make life better. We do our best to find joy and happiness, and there is joy and happiness to be found here. But we have to admit that when all is said and done, we finally have to concede that there really is no such thing as heaven on earth. Regardless of how much joy we are able to find in this life, there's still no such thing as heaven on earth. And so, we have to consider ourselves as just pilgrims that are passing through this land, looking for a land that's far better. Hebrews 11, verse 16. Hebrews 11:16 says that that's what the ancient patriarchs did. Abraham, and Isaac, and Sarah. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in this world. They looked for a better country, a heavenly country. 1 Peter 2:11 says, "As strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul." We sing sometimes that this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. That's true. And so as we think about the fact that we're going to have problems in life, we're just pilgrims that are here for a while, it's helpful to know that the Scriptures can be a source of comfort to get us through those circumstances that we face in life that are difficult. One of the reasons God gave us this book is to help us through those times. Paul talked about that. Romans 15, verse 4, the passage we usually reference as far as the value of the Old Testament is concerned, and it does teach that. The things written aforetime, written for our learning, that we, through patience and what? Comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. The Word of God can be a source of comfort. Read the book of Psalms, if you ever doubt that. The Psalms especially are great sources of comfort and consolation in our times of need. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for You're with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me." Psalm 23:4. Our God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Psalm 46:1. The passages could be listed multiple times over that can offer us consolation and help in our distresses. Has there ever been a time in the history of the world when a knowledge of the Word of God was more necessary than it is now? Well, the world has always needed a knowledge of the Word of God. But it seems that ignorance of the Bible is at an all-time low ignorance at an all-time high and knowledge at an all-time low. And it shows. And so God's people, Christians, ought not be in that number that are ignorant of the Word of God. Christians should set aside a place, some place, some location, be it in your home, your office, your garage, your car, somewhere, that you can get away from the busyness of the day and have a refuge for daily study of the Word of God. You should develop a good library for yourself and have the discipline, the self-discipline, to have regular periods of study and prayer. True, much study is a weariness of the flesh, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 12. But when you're studying divine revelation, it is a happy weariness. Bible study is not easy. Good Bible study. But there is so much to be gained when we invest the time and energy into getting deeper into the Word of God. May God help us to do that. And over the next few weeks, I hope that we'll be able to study some practical principles and guides that will help us to be more than just readers of the Bible, though that's important, but to be genuine good students of the Word of God. How's your Bible study? Is it basically non-existent? I hope that's not the case. But if it is, be thankful that in the grace of God you're given an opportunity to reassess things, rearrange things, to make time for this vitally important. If you need to repent of some sin as a child of God, confess it and seek forgiveness, do that today. And if that involves some kind of public acknowledgement, then take advantage of this opportunity. If you're not a Christian, it's the Bible that teaches you what you must do to become one. Put your faith, your trust, your confidence in Jesus Christ, who died for you, Hebrews 2:9. Confess that faith in Christ, having repented of your sins, and then allow yourself to be immersed in water, that your sins might be washed away, Acts 22, verse 16.